Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's again another beautiful Sunday that we are going to hear from the Lord, and I encourage you to open your hearts for the preaching of the Word of God, the declaration of the Word of God. This Sunday, we are going to be hearing the Word of God from the book of John, chapter number 20, verse number 19 to 29. John chapter number 20, verse 19 to 29. And the title of the sermon is, My Hands Are Blessed. Hallelujah. Now, when we read and think about the title, I think you'll be equally puzzled like myself. Because the passage is about Jesus appearing to his disciples for the first time after his resurrection. And normally when we read or share from this passage of scripture, we are normally talking about the doubting Thomas. But God wants to reveal unto us something from this passage of scripture that I had never seen ever. And that is what we're going to be sharing. My hands are blessed. May I request us to read together. I will read for us as you follow through your Bibles. John chapter number 20, verse number 19. I'm reading from NIV, and it reads, On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. Verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your fingers here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord, my God. Then Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Shall we pray? Mighty and everlasting King, we thank you because you are the King of glory. We thank you because of your love, your kindness, and we thank you because of your word. We thank you because every day you are speaking to us, and everything that's around us is telling us and reminding us of your beauty and your glory and your majesty. And we thank you, God, because you're going to speak to us this morning. Father, it is my prayer that the meditation of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable before you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So the book of John that we have read from is a book that was written, or it's one of the gospels that was written with the purpose of demonstrating to the readers that Christ is, or Jesus is the Christ. Because here are people that were waiting for a savior. Here are people that were waiting for a redeemer. And many of them continued to doubt and did not believe that this Jesus that they walked with was the Christ. And this book is being written to remind them and to confirm to them that he is the Christ. And the second thing, the book of John was written to confirm to them that Jesus Christ is not just a mere man living on earth and doing miracles, but he is indeed the Son of God. And the other thing that the book of John was written to do was for us that believeth. That when you believe, you receive eternal life. Those are things that we have to bear in mind when we read the book of John or the Gospel of John, that the main theme and the intention was to prove that Jesus Christ is the Christ, is the Son of God, and he that believeth in him shall have eternal life. The passage that we have just read is a recording of events that happened after the resurrection of Christ. Immediately just after his resurrection, these events happened. And trust me, it was a time when the disciples, as we have read, they were in fear of the Jews. They locked themselves. They were in hiding. There was uncertainty. There was anxiety. And maybe some hope. Saying, we hope he will rise again. And I would like to remind us that if Christ had not risen from the dead, we would have been a shameful people. If Christ had not come back to life, all of us that call ourselves Christians would have been a shameful people. The disciples, I don't know what would have happened to them, I can say, but they were afraid already at this particular time. Paul records in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, and he says, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith if Christ had not risen from the dead. But we thank God for this book of John that reminds us and records and proves that Christ indeed rose from the dead, and he is alive. A few weeks ago, we were celebrating Easter, the death and the resurrection of Christ, the very foundation of our faith. And we really thank God for that. Now, coming to the sermon, given that background, I want us to center on verse number 27 and 28. Jesus has come to appear to them the second time, to the disciples the second time, and he tells Thomas. Nobody told Jesus that Thomas doesn't believe that you have resurrected, you've risen. Nobody told Jesus. But Jesus appeared to them and he says to Thomas, Thomas, reach out your hand and see the nail marks in my hands. And see the piercing, the mark of the piercing in his side. And it is recorded in verse number 28 that after he had done that, Thomas say to him, my Lord, my God. When I read this passage of scripture, I said many times we have said Thomas the doubter, Thomas the guy who doesn't believe, and have not seen what happened in this particular passage of scripture. After he had reached out and had an encounter with Christ, had an encounter with the hand of Christ, he believed. And he said, my Lord, my God. And I want to emphasize on that. Thomas believed that indeed this is the Christ that I walked around with. It is the same Christ that was nailed on the cross and the same Christ that was buried in that tomb. And he has come to life. It is the moment of transformation, of change in the life of Thomas from unbelief to belief when he encountered the hands of Christ. By the end of this sermon, I want us to see three things. The power in the hands of Christ, The position of a believer when we encounter the power in the hands of Christ. And now that we have believed, what does the Bible say about our hands and the power in our hands? So, Thomas has encountered Christ and he has moved from unbelief to belief. And he did not only confirm that Christ has resurrected, but something special happened. He believed and confirmed that Christ is Lord and God. It was a new revelation to him. I do believe that Thomas had an experience with Christ as the guy who performed different miracles, the guy who he walked around with in the towns of Galilee, in Nazareth, in many places. He had his own knowledge and understanding of Christ. But this time, there was a new revelation that came to Thomas when he encountered the hands of Christ that were nailed on the cross. And God has revealed himself many times in different ways in the Bible. To others, he has revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah El Shaddai. And to Thomas on this particular time, when he encountered the hands of Christ that were nailed on the cross, he experienced Christ as the Lord and Savior. That is the power in the nailed hands of Christ and in his resurrection. By the end of this service, I want us to see the power in the hands of Christ. But maybe one may wonder, what manner of that of the power is it that was in the hand of Christ? The Bible has a lot of recordings of what Christ had done with his own hands. John chapter number 3, verse number 35. It is recorded that the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Everything in heaven above, everything on earth, everything under the earth is placed in the hands of Christ. That is the kind of power that is in the hands of Christ. And trust me, if you encounter the hand of Christ, you will not be the same. Because everything is under the control of these hands. I want to remind us that it is those same hands of Christ that Thomas encountered on this day, that at one point, with Christ spat on the ground, with those hands he made mud and put them the mud on the eyes of a blind man, and instantly that man saw. The power in the hands of Christ. Those hands took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and multiplied it and fed thousands of people. It's a power in the hands of Christ. And if you encounter that power, you will not be the same. And those hands were laid on many sick people, and healing came instantly. And I want to remind you one thing. Those hands stopped a funeral procession, and he touched a body of a dead boy, and instantly life came back into that dead body and brought joy in the life of that woman, the mother of this child. And I want to tell you today that those hands had the resurrection power. And when he encountered this hand on this day, Thomas, he was never the same. He saw that this is indeed the Lord, the master over all things, the master over life and death. He has conquered death. He has defeated everything. And it is these hands that he encountered. And he saw that he is not just a mere man. He is God. And being a believer, these hands, you have believed when you came to the Lord, when you came to the knowledge of truth. I would like to announce today and declare that so does that power live in your hands. Hallelujah.
The power of Christ that is demonstrated in the life of Thomas at this particular time also lives in your hands. If you believe in Christ, that power is also at work in your hands. Hallelujah. And that is the position that we are given when we believe in Christ. What do we become? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And when you have this eternal life, you become children of God. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we become joint heirs with Christ. The power that is on Christ is also at work in our lives. Let me back this by scripture. It's not something I'm making up. John 14 verse 12 says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. If you have believed in Christ, this is the place and the position he has given you. And this is what he has called you to do. Greater things than what Christ did, your hands can do only if you believe. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 18. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And I'm paraphrasing. You can read it in full. They will pick up snakes with their hands and will not be harmed. They will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. The Bible is clearly indicating what you can do with your hands if you believe. When Thomas saw the nail marks in the hand of Christ, the piercing on his side, and believed, he saw that this is Lord and he is God. When you experience that, you'll not be the same. And these are the things that will follow that you'll be able to do. So your hands have been blessed after you have believed in Christ. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 27 says, never walk away from someone who deserves help. In Proverbs, we're being encouraged to do justice when it is within our power to. So it may not be your physical hands, but the control that you have. We are being called to do justice in those moments because we could be the hand of God reaching to those that are in need. You have power in your hands. You are a leader in your organization. You are an advocate. Child rights, women rights, who are being oppressed every day, left, right, and center. There's a lot of injustices that are happening in the world we're living in today. And we have the power to change that, given the position that you have. And let me tell us this. You don't need to be a senior in your organization to bring change. Shine the light of God, and that will bring change in your places. Because the hand of God is at work in your life. Amen. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 34, verse 9, it is recorded that at the laying of hands, we are able to transfer wisdom. The Bible says, now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hand on him. Moses had laid his hand on him, and a man was filled with wisdom. When the hand of Christ is on you, you'll be filled with wisdom. Hallelujah. Now that we know all power and all things have been given to Christ, now that we know the power that lies in our hands when we believe in Christ, how do we make it work for us? How do we make it work for the glory of God in our lives? Thomas believed. Last week, Sister Gemma was preaching here and she taught us how to obey. She said the key to all things is obedience. When Thomas was asked by Jesus to reach out, he obeyed. He reached out his hand and touched the hands of Christ and the side that was pierced. And great things happened in his life. So like Thomas, we are being called to believe. And that is the key to making the power of Christ that is in our hands to work for us, to work for our good. It is the knowledge that Christ who died is at work in our lives. Like Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live now, I live by faith through the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is that realization that is not me that is at work. It is not my physical hands that are at work, but Christ is at work in me. The hands of Christ are at work in my life. When you believe, your hands, or the hands of Christ, begin to work in your hands. And miracles and great things will happen in our lives. We need to put our faith and belief in action, because the Bible records in the passage that we have read that blessed is he that believes even before seeing, like the first group of disciples that believed. Blessed is he that believes even before seeing. We might have not lived in the days of Christ. We have read about Christ, and by faith we have believed. We should consider ourselves blessed. And we should walk and live in that blessedness, in that assurance. Hallelujah. We should walk and live in that assurance. My time is running out, and I would like to conclude. The hand of Christ which touched Thomas is the same hand of Christ that came to you by the power of the Holy Spirit on that day when you confessed Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. And when you received him, he entered into your life and is at work. And when you submit to him, your hands are his hands, are those same hands that were nailed on the cross. And what those hands could do, your hands can do. And I want to invite you to look at your hands. I hope you don't just see flesh and bones that help you to hold a fork and knife and eat, or flesh and bones that just help you to type your computer, or flesh and bones that just help you to write notes when you are in meetings. Those hands are the very hands of Christ after you have believed him. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, my hands are the very hands of Christ after I believed him. And I can do greater things than what Christ did when he was here on earth. Hallelujah. We thank God for the blessed assurance that we have in him, and for the confidence that we have in Christ and in the salvation that he has given unto us. I always tell people around that I am very close to that after everything, put all of your trust in the Lord. Trust not in your own strength. Trust not in your own ability. Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So whatever you are going through, whatever you are doing, believing in Christ, putting all of your confidence in him and not trusting in your ways, he will make your path straight and you'll be able to do things more than what Christ did when he was here on earth. Shall we pray?
Mighty and everlasting King, we thank you once again as we have heard your word. Learning from Thomas, who doubted you, but after encountering you, he believed and his life was changed. He came to the new revelation that you are the Lord and you are God.